Bonjour, je m'appelle Jessa et je serai votre opératrice aujourd'hui. J'aimerais vous souhaiter la bienvenue à la conférence résultats du troisième trimestre de UniSelect. Toutes les lignes sont présentement en mode écoute seulement afin d'éviter tout prix inutile. Suite au commentaire des présentateurs, il y aura une session de questions et réponses. À ce moment, si vous voulez poser une question, vous pouvez appuyer sur l'étoile suivie du numéro 1 sur votre clavier téléphonique. Pour retirer votre question, vous n'avez qu'à appuyer sur le dièse. Good morning. My name is Jessa, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the UniSelect, Inc. Third Quarter Results Conference Call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, please press the pound key. Thank you. Mr. Louis Junot, Chief Legal Officer and Corporate Secretary, you may begin your conference.
Merci, Jessa. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us for the UniSelect third quarter conference call. Presenting this morning are André Courville, Interim President and Chief Executive Officer, and Éric Bussière, Chief Financial Officer. Following their comments, we will open the call for questions. Joining us today for your questions are Chris Adams, President and CEO, FinishMaster USA, Brent Windham, President and CEO of Automotive Canada, and Peter Sefton, President and CEO of the Parts Alliance. Please note that all documents referred to in today's conference call, including this webcast presentation, can be found on our website at uniselect.com in the Investors section. As noted on slide 2, I would like to remind you about the caution regarding forward-looking statements, which is applied to our presentation and comments. All amounts are expressed in U.S. dollars, except as otherwise specified. With that, let me turn the call over to André.
Merci, Louis, et bon matin à tous. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. First, I would like to wish Chris a warm welcome. We are honored to have him join the leadership team. Please turn to page 4. Before we jump in the quarterly results, I just want to provide an update on our strategic alternative review process. On September 18, we announced the formation of a special committee of independent members of the Board of Directors to oversee a review of strategic alternatives. Since then, the special committee and the Board of Directors have had multiple meetings with its advisors and management to identify, review, analyze, and evaluate a comprehensive range of alternatives with the goal of maximizing value for our shareholders. At this time, we do not have an update to provide and cannot commit to any time frame considering the extent of this comprehensive process and typical nature of these reviews. Now, please turn to page 5. Today, we are announcing the expansion of our 2020 initiative. Recall that a year ago, we launched a 2020 initiative for cost savings of $20 million by 2020. At the end of the third quarter, we have realized $12 million of annualized recurring savings, or 60% of the target. In the spirit of continuous improvement and to further drive efficiency, we identify a minimum of an additional $5 million in cost savings, bringing the total recurring savings to at least $25 million by 2020. Eric will provide more detail on this in a moment. Now let me provide you with a brief overview of Q3 results on page 6. Our third quarter results demonstrated our focus on execution with improved organic sales growth generated in all our business units, higher adjusted EBITDA, and strong cash flow generation. During the quarter, we deleveraged our balance sheet, bringing our funded debt to adjusted EBITDA ratio to 3.1 from 3.6 3 months earlier, and we amended and extended our credit facility to increase flexibility. I'm very proud of the team that worked hard to get there for this Q3. On that note, I'd like to turn the call over to Eric to review our results.
Thank you, André. Bonjour, good morning, everyone. Please turn to page 8. Overall, our third quarter results were essentially in line with our expectations. On a consolidated basis, sales reached $449 million, up 13% over last year. primarily driven by the acquisition of Parts Alliance and positive organic growth. Adjusted EBITDA was up 3% to $35 million, or a margin of 7.8%, primarily explained by competitive pressure in FinishMaster, coupled with an incentive from a product line changeover in the Canadian Automotive Group last year. During the quarter, we integrated 3 stores and opened 4 greenfields. We are generally pleased by our top-line results. FinishMaster had a second consecutive quarter of organic growth. TPA demonstrated strong organic growth again this quarter, and our Canadian operations returned to positive organic growth after a challenging second quarter. First, let me go through each business segment in more details. Please turn to page 9 for FinishMaster. Sales increased to $214 million, up 3.7% from last year, while the EBITDA margin stood at 10%, impacted by competitive pressure and benefits from the tail end of special buy last year. We are encouraged by the top-line performance at FinishMaster, as it is the second consecutive quarter of positive organic growth. The results clearly demonstrate that the sales recovery plan and the sales growth initiatives that we put in place since the beginning of the year have gained traction. In addition, in the third quarter, we opened a new greenfield location in Oregon. The new store helped us extend our customer coverage initiatives in the Pacific Northwest region. Since the beginning of the fourth quarter, we have noticed that our operations in certain markets are facing soft market conditions. As a result, we expect to be at the lower end of the organic sales growth guidance range of 0.5% to 2%. We currently stand at 0.6% after 9 months. Furthermore, margins continue to be under pressure. In fact, we have noticed the competitive landscape evolving in all refinish segments. As a result, it becomes more important than ever to execute our 25-20 plan and reduce our cost-to-serve model in order to preserve our margins going forward. In parallel, we will continue to focus on driving profitable growth with specific initiatives to achieve long-term objectives and counterbalance some of our business challenges. For example, we will drive organic sales growth through the new customer sales initiatives, improve customer retention, and execute our strategy to expand into the industrial coating business. Turn now to Canada on page 10. Our third quarter sales were down 1.9% to $131 million. Primarily driven by the unfavorable foreign exchange conversion to U.S. dollar and partly offset by organic growth of 0.5%. Our EBITDA margin reached 7.2%, driven by revenue mix, investment in company-owned stores, and product line changeover incentive recognized last year. Organic growth in the quarter turned positive after a challenging second quarter. In fact, after soft market condition in the second quarter, which flowed into the month of July, the last 2 months of the quarter returned to more normalized conditions. Let me put the 0.5% organic growth in perspective for a moment. Besides having soft market condition in the first month of the quarter, it was up against a tough comparable quarter last year where we generated 7.7% of organic growth. Furthermore, it was also the result of customer preempting future price increase announced by an important supplier. Consequently, this timing of purchase may have an impact on our fourth quarter results. Nevertheless, with year-to-date organic growth at 0.9%, we are confident that we can achieve our organic sales growth guidance for the year at between 0 and 1.5%, more likely in the upper part of the range. Having said this, margin continues to be under pressure as we are transitioning to our company-owned store strategy. In fact, in the quarter, we continue to roll out of the bumper of to-bumper and the deployment of our point-of-sale system, PartWatch. As we mentioned last quarter, we also started to focus on optimizing our network. In fact, we integrated 3 stores in the quarter. We estimate that the cost related to these consolidations represent about 40 basis points on the EBITDA margin. In addition, we have other consolidation and logistics opportunities to improve our network that we will be evaluating with the scope of the expanded 2020 initiatives. I do, however, want to be clear that when we are consolidating stores, in most cases, we are not losing volume, but reducing our cost-to-serve model, providing better service to our customer, and ultimately improving our margins. Now, I'll turn to our Parts Alliance UK segment on page 11. Our third quarter sales were $104 million versus $56 million last quarter. Recall that last year, TPA contribution started from August 7th only. Organic growth was unusually strong, at a 9.4%, of which 3% was generated by Greenfield. We would not expect this organic growth to to be a new norm. The EBITDA margin was 6.3%, up from 4.1% last year, driven by results for a full quarter and cost initiatives completed last year. In fact, TPA reached this margin despite opening 3 greenfield in the quarter. We estimated that the greenfield negative impact on the margins by about 20 basis points. Year to date, we opened 10 greenfield, therefore bringing the total count to 12 since we acquired Parts Alliance last August. We are extremely pleased by the execution and performance of the Parts Alliance segment. It is exceeding our expectation, supported by solid momentum in greenfield opening, sales, and operational performance. Given the Parts Alliance strong performance in the first 9 months, coupled with our outlook for the balance of the year, we are confident that we can achieve our organic sales growth guidance for the year at between 6 and 8%, as well as a margin of 7.5% for the year, excluding the impact of greenfield. Before I comment on the results in more detail, I would like to remind you about the impact of seasonality on Uni-Select results. Please turn to page 13. At FinishMaster US, the first and fourth quarter tend to be softer, and the third the strongest. For our Canadian operations, the first and fourth quarter are typically soft, with the first quarter being the softest. As a result, margin in the second and third quarter tends to be approximately 200 basis points higher than the first and fourth quarter. Similarly, our UK operation typically have softer third and fourth quarter, with the month of August and December being the softest. Consequently, margin in the first half of the year tend to be close to 200 basis points higher than the back half of the year. Having said this, I want to be clear that the next quarter will be softer, the softest quarter of the year. Please turn to page 16 for more detail regarding our 25-20 plan. Recall that we launched the 2020 initiative in Q3 2017. The focus was reducing our cost to serve by accelerating the capture of certain synergies linked to the various acquisitions, improve productivity level, and bring more variability in our cost structure. At the end of this quarter, we had realized $12 million in annualized recurring savings, or 60% of our target. Starting in the fourth quarter of 2018, we expand the scope of the 2020 initiative to at least $25 million of recurring cost savings by 2020. To achieve the remaining $13 million in recurring cost savings, we will incur restructuring and other charges in the fourth quarter of 2018 and over the following 6 quarters, estimated to total between $9 and $11 million, mainly on a cash cost basis. Cost-saving initiatives across the three business segments will focus on various initiatives with the supply chain optimization, resulting in the closure or integration of locations and workforce reduction. The slight workforce reduction of less than 5% of total employees will be spread across all businesses and will be related to the site integration and optimization actions. These initiatives are expected to benefit margin in the Canadian Automotive Group, as well as the Part Alliance, and support margin at FinishMaster. Turning to page 17, net earnings for the quarter reached $10.6 million, or 25 cents per share, versus $11.2 million, or 26 cents per share last year. Adjusted earnings for the quarter reached $15.5 million, or 37 cents per share, versus $15.9 million, or 37 cents per share last year. The slight decrease in adjusted earnings was mainly attributable to additional financing and depreciation costs from the TPA acquisition, partly offset by a lower income tax rate following the U.S. tax reform. Now, let me comment on our quarter cash flow on page 18. In the third quarter, cash flow from operating activities provided $73 million in liquidity versus $49 million last year. This variation was positively impacted by change in working capital items, notably increase in trade payables going through the vendor financing program, partly offset by increased trade receivables due to higher sales. As a result, we generated $32 million of free cash flow for the quarter as compared to $35 million last year. I want to make a few comments on the use of cash for the quarter. First, in the third quarter, our cash was primarily used to pay down debt. Furthermore, customer investment for the quarter returned to a more normal level, roughly 2.5% of FinishMaster sales as expected. In addition, you will notice that on a year-to-date basis, our CapEx spend stands at $17 million, including capital leases on vehicle, while we have a guidance of between $26 and $29 million for the year. We expect an acceleration of our CapEx spend during the fourth quarter, linked to certain projects that are subject to milestones being achieved. In the event that some of these milestones are not achieved during the fourth quarter, some of the spending will be pushed into 2019. Turning to page 19. At the end of the quarter, Our outstanding total net debt stood at $394 million, as compared to $450 million 3 months earlier, a decrease of $56 million. As a result, the funded debt-to-adjusted ratio stood at 3.1 times at the end of September. As previously explained, we expected our net debt to decrease in the third and fourth quarter, as the seasonality of our business leads us to generate stronger cash flow during the second half. In the fourth quarter, we expect our net debt to further decrease, excluding the impact of any potential acquisitions. In the third quarter, we also amended and extended our credit facility at similar financial costs. This new agreement provides us with greater flexibility to manage our working capital requirements and deleveraging objectives. Now let me turn to the outlook on page 20. We are reiterating our guidance as published on September 18. Finally, in the interest of transparency, I would like to discuss an important factor that will impact our Q2 2019 cash flow. Please turn to page 22. The slide presents the typical impact of seasonality on Unisec cash flow generation. On the slide, you can observe the past 11 quarters of cash flow from operating activities. Typically, our first quarter will burn cash as we are ramping up inventory for our strong second and third quarter and pay certain rebates to our members. As a result, our second quarter starts to generate cash as inventory are depleted, and finally, our third and fourth quarter typically accelerate that trend and generate strong cash flow. We were informed by one of our large suppliers that payment terms will change quite significantly in 2019. As a result, in 2019, we will have a cash outflow of approximately $55 million, mainly in the second quarter. Although this is a one-time impact, it will have an impact on our cash position and thus push back our deleverage objective. Based on the foregoing, we now expect to reach our target 2.5 times funded debt to adjusted EBITDA in approximately 24 months, excluding any potential acquisitions. This completes my financial review. I will now turn the call over to Andre for concluding remarks before opening the call for questions. Andre?
Thank you, Eric. To conclude, our top priority is to actively pursue our strategic alternatives review with our advisors to complete the review as expeditiously as possible. I will not be able to give you additional comments if you have questions today. I think we've been very clear where we are today at this point in time. We have the management team and strategy in place to drive the business forward. We will continue to execute our 25-20 plan, open greenfields, and actively pursue select acquisitions, all in an effort to drive our operations to generate continued growth and increase profitability with the aim of maximizing shareholders' value. We maintain our goal of reducing our leverage to 2.5 funded debt to adjusted EBITDA over time, excluding potential acquisitions, obviously. And finally, we expect to reach our guidance for the year. All of this will not be possible without the ongoing support of all stakeholders, including our employees and shareholders. I also want to thank our management for their strong commitment towards this quarter and up to today. And I'm sure of the continuous involvement, and I'm keeping pushing my three COOs for, bigger is better, and we're all working on that. So to this conclude my presentation, we're now ready to answer questions. Madame Operator.
Merci. En ce moment, si vous voulez poser une question, composez l'étoile suivie du numéro 1 sur votre clavier téléphonique. At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by the number 1 on your telephone keypad. Your first question comes from the line of Benoit Poirier from Desjardins. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning.
Bon matin.
Thank you very much, and good morning, everyone. Could you provide more details on the organic growth for the Canadian automotive business and maybe quantify a little bit the special buy or the impact of the future price increase on the organic growth and the margin side?
So, Benoit, I'll take the first question. I think the purchase you're referring to is some of our members took advantage of a price increase from a manufacturer and ordered in advance of that price increase, and that happened more in Q3, and therefore our signal is that it may have an impact on our sales of Q4 because of the size and magnitude of those purchases in Q3. Having said that, we are reiterating our guidance, and we do expect to be on the upper end of the range in terms of organic growth. As it relates to organic growth in Q3, I'll let Brad put a little bit of color on the Q3 growth.
Good morning, Benoit. As Eric mentioned earlier, the hangover from Q2, the soft Q2 in the market continued the first 30 days. The last 60 days, we've seen a very strong normalization of our organic growth, and we certainly continue to see that and believe that we'll meet our guidance at the upper range of that. It's pure timing of Q3 versus Q4 with the manufacturer's price change. They normally take it a little later in the year. They took it earlier this year, and so we saw that movement. So,
good. Thank you.
Okay, perfect. And if we look at the free cash flow, you mentioned the $55 million in Q2 coming from one supplier. Could you provide more color about the segment, and does it assume that the free cash flow will turn negative for the full year in 2019?
Yeah, so Benoit, it's a change of payment terms with a supplier. We believe that we can still be neutral for the year on an entire year basis. Might be slightly negative, but you know, because of the size of that change, it's obviously not a small cash flow change, and that's why we wanted to make sure that the market was aware of that.
Okay. And do you think, Eric, that some other supplier could follow? I mean, or is it one of a very special case?
No, it's a very specific case. In fact, my anticipation with other suppliers is we may be able to extend payment terms, and we're in negotiations with certain suppliers to that extent.
Okay.
And I will remind everybody that in the Parts Alliance acquisition, you may recall that when we bought that business, they had no benefit from vendor financing, and it's something that we started doing in 2018, and we see further opportunities throughout the year to increase our level of vendor financing with some manufacturers in the UK.
Okay, and last one for me in terms of corporate costs, Eric, could you mention what is the typical run rate we should be modeling going forward?
Well, I think, Benoit, we're tracking at in the $15-16 million for the year on a normalized basis.
Okay, thank you very much.
Merci.
Your next question comes from the line of Michael Glenn from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Hey, good morning. So just to hone in on this payment in Q2, is that in the Canadian auto parts business, or is it in FinishMaster?
No, we're not going to start slicing and dicing which manufacturer and so forth for obvious reasons. So all I'll say is that it has an impact on the consolidated level, and we wanted to make sure that the market was aware of that change of payment terms.
And does this was this a result of the changing interest rate environment at all?
I don't believe, Michael, that there's a link to this, because it's been a conversation that has possibly been ongoing for a number of months. I wouldn't be able to pinpoint that it's linked to interest rate increase or not. And quite frankly, it's the only manufacturers that we had a discussion about payment terms changing in negative manner. So far, conversation with the others have been very supportive of our business.
Okay. FinishMaster, going back to your seasonality chart, FinishMaster's strongest quarters, 3Q, EBITDA margin was 10%. Takeaway from that is that on a full-year basis, then we're going to track somewhere, you know, call it 9.5 type range, it would be reasonable?
As we've said in the past, we don't provide guidance on a segment basis. We did it exceptionally in 2018 for TPA for obvious reasons in view of the difficult start of 2017. We provided guidance on a consolidated basis. And I think with 9 months of results and the guidance we gave in Parts Alliance, you have plenty of information to derive what you think should be the margins.
Okay. And then if we're going to go into like if we're going to think about the strategic review and some assumptions behind you might sell certain businesses, would there be any instances where you needed to seek approval from suppliers to sell those businesses? And in particular, I'm just wondering if you can comment as to whether the paint manufacturers at FinishMaster would have a say in some sort of sale process there.
Well, you know, the answer is that at this point in time, obviously, like I said, no decision has been taken. And what we could expect from if there was a transaction, some people doing due diligence will have to ask the right questions like you probably just asked. But, you know, that's at this point in time is there's no thing to say about potential transactions. We're not there yet. And that's what we've mentioned this morning.
Okay. And then for FinishMaster in particular, how do you more view FinishMaster Canada as part of the Canadian business or as part of the U.S. business?
Brent?
So it's part of the Canadian Automotive Group. It's 10 stores we have across the country strategically, and it's integrated into our business model.
Okay.
We just use the brand. That's all.
Okay. Thanks for taking my questions.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Michael.
Your next question comes from the line of Elizabeth Johnson from Laurentian Bank Securities. Please go ahead.
Good morning.
Morning.
Just to go over to the UK, you mentioned the very strong organic growth. Can you touch upon a little more details there of what you think drove? I know you called out Greenfield as 3%, but even if you back out that, it was still exceptionally strong. What are some of the drivers in that market?
I'll have Peter and Eric to add.
Well, setting inspirational leadership aside, I think there were some favorable conditions. I mean, we had an exceptionally warm summer. We benefited from a weak pound, and that led to staycations, so people staying at home and doing holidays in the UK, more miles driven. So there were some favorable tailwinds there. But notwithstanding that, you know, we did a lot in terms of taking market share from various smaller, weaker competitors as well. We can continue to do that. I think the takeaway is after an exceptional summer, I don't expect that to repeat. We haven't had a summer like that for 30 years. I don't expect it to repeat anytime soon. So they were the sort of exceptional circumstances that helped that organic growth a little bit.
And thank you. And when it comes to taking share, do you find that you're just more competitive overall, or is there a specific part of that strategy, be it pricing or location or customer service, where you think you're really continuing to drive that result?
Well, I think it's all of that plus the quality of our people as well. I mean, you know, we put a lot of store into the training and development of our people, the retention of our people. We have some proprietary elements to our business that many other competitors don't have. Our proprietary catalog allows us to retrieve, which is Alicat, allows us to retrieve information very quickly, make an accurate pick for the customer. And that's in a continuous stage of development. We've had that benefit for many years, and we continually develop that capability in terms of our systems and technology to differentiate us from the competition.
Okay, great.
Good.
Thanks.
Thank you, Peter.
And just in terms of the restructuring costs that you mentioned, the $9 to $11 million over so Q4 and then six more quarters, if I understand that correctly, can you speak about which segments we should expect most of that to come through and where we're seeing most of the benefit? I assume that's Canada and the UK, but just want to confirm that.
Yeah, as I stated in my elocution, it should help the margins of Canada and the UK, and it should help us maintain margins in the US.
Okay. And just maybe one final question for me on the UK, and in terms of greenfield openings, can you give us any insight into your thought process for greenfield versus M&A in that market specifically, and what the outlook looks like for opening new stores in 2019?
Yeah, look, greenfield is the lowest investment in terms of return if you're successful in doing it, which Parts Alliance has been extremely successful since we've acquired them to launch greenfield, have them break even, in my opinion, a record period of time. And we see no reason why we would not consider doing more greenfield going forward. At the same time, if there's an acquisition that makes sense for us, that is complementary to the network, either by density or by geography, we would certainly entertain that possibility.
And are you able to give any insight into how many stores that could be, even broadly, you know, similar level to this year or somewhere around that, in that kind of a qualitative number?
We'll provide a little bit more color on this a little bit on the next call. At this point, we're in budget season, and we're obviously looking at all aspects of the markets.
Okay, thank you. That's it for me.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line, Jonathan Lammers from BMO Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
On FinishMaster, you know, I noticed that the margin came down a little bit in Q3 from Q2, despite slightly higher sales. And in the MD&A, you mentioned competitive pressure on the gross margin in Q3. Could you explain a little bit what you mean by competitive pressure, and is that something new?
Well, it's certainly something that that we've noticed and that we felt more so in Q3, where we're feeling that the competitive landscape is more competitive at pretty much all levels of the refinish segment. That's what we're currently seeing.
We also had growth in all of our segments, and specifically targeted that middle tier independent segment, which tends to be very competitive.
Sorry, what do you mean by middle tier independent segment? So this is your traditional channel where the gross market.
Yeah, exactly. The traditional channel.
Yeah.
But by middle tier, do you mean sort of, would these be smaller MSOs that do not negotiate directly with the manufacturers?
Well, just to be clear, Jonathan, so we're all aligned on the definition, right? We define MSOs as anybody that operates three shops or more. And when
yes.
we say traditional, that would be the smaller operators, not the MSOs.
Okay. And on the restructuring initiatives, you know, I understand that you're not providing guidance by segment, but I believe in the past, Eric, we had discussed around $4 million in savings from route optimization initiatives for FinishMaster that would be kicking in toward the end of 2018. Could you just update us on where you are with those delivery route optimization initiatives? Was there any benefit in the Q3 year-to-date results?
So we got four key streams that we're working on at FinishMaster. The one that you mentioned is one of those. The project is following its course. To your question as it relates to any benefits in Q3, the answer is no, it's still early days. We're in the deployment testing phase. There's a finite number of stores where we've implemented that technology, and we're more in the test phase. And we see some goodness coming in 2019 more so than anything else.
Thank you. And just at an industry level, some of the manufacturers have talked about raising prices a little more so recently. Is that having any impact on FinishMaster?
Well, look, there's price. First, let's say that there's price increases pretty much every year by manufacturers, right? As a first, this is not a new thing. You're correct that it sounds like there might be a higher price increase this year than last year. And I'll let Chris provide a bit of color on what we expect. But having said that, you know, the price increase becomes real only when the manufacturer actually announces it. So,
yeah, I would think based on, you know, published information in terms of the cost of raw materials going up, that we can assume to see higher price increases in 2019. And I would imagine it would be a collective effort from the manufacturers, which, you know, the
they're all facing the same challenges.
They're all facing the same challenges.
So how do things look in terms of opportunities to buy inventory in front of those price increases to get a, you know, potential margin lift?
Yeah, look, well, as we said in the past, when those opportunities arise, we always look at the benefit of doing so. And if those opportunities arise, we'll consider it for sure.
Okay. Switching to Parts Alliance, One of the competitors in the UK, you know, recently flagged that competitors are cutting prices. Have you seen that dynamic in the UK, and has Parts Alliance, you know, seen any need to cut prices?
So, look, there's no question it's a competitive market. I wouldn't say it's a disorganized market. I think it's a fairly disciplined market. Is there price competitiveness like any markets? For sure. I don't know, Peter, if you want to, if you have more color to provide to that.
Yeah, actually, I don't see that. I mean, as Eric said, it continues to be a competitive market. But you know, if I compare it to where it was 4 to 5 years ago, it's much more rational now. So I don't see that. It continues to be competitive, but I don't think those conditions have changed any time recently.
Thanks. And if we think about the success with the greenfields that were opened this year, was there anything in particular about those greenfields that made them particularly easy conversions and you know, got off to a good head start coming off the ground?
Well, you know, we have a process of planning where we open greenfields. You know, that's a defined playbook that we adopt in terms of where the car park is, what the competitive environment is that we go into, the availability of personnel, our ability to service those customers. So it's a good planned approach. Inevitably, over time, you know, you start with the best opportunities and go down to the less best opportunities. So over time, that denudes. So I guess that's just an inevitable part of that planning process. There was nothing truly exceptional. There was a little bit of competitive disruption in the early part of the year that we took advantage of. But, you know, we constantly see areas of competitive disruptions. A company's acquired, something changes in a particular marketplace, and we're getting increasingly astute at identifying those opportunities.
Okay, thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Leon Agazarian from National Bank Financial. Please go ahead.
Morning, everybody.
Morning.
Just to kind of come back to an earlier question on the Canadian side, the customers taking advantage of the future price increases. You mentioned that this kind of happens more often towards the latter half of the year, and it happened earlier than usual. Just wondering, is it on specific types of products that they're seeing right now, or is it because they're carrying maybe more inventory that they're trying to get rid of? I'm just trying to understand the dynamic of why that would happen.
No, not at all. It was really designated around the PPE sector for us. And the paint, some of our paint suppliers announced their price increases, and our members who distribute that product took advantage of it. Typically, that comes in the beginning of the fourth quarter, and it came in the third quarter this year.
Okay, that's helpful there. On the cash flow side, I mean, your cash flow from operations were very, very high. I mean, particularly as compared to the last year. You did mention here in terms of increased trade payables. Can you just walk me through the dynamic of what that actually entails? Like, why is the increase in trade payables through the vendor financing helping your cash flow, and what was really the dynamics behind that?
Yeah, look, so, you know, some of this is timing. So, you know, there are on the vendor financing program, it goes with our purchases. There's dates agreed with the manufacturer and the bank in terms of how that program works. If I buy on the 5th of the month, then you know, within certain numbers of days thereafter, I have to pay back. If I buy on the 8th of the month, then it's numbers of days plus 8, right? So my point here is it all depends on the scheduling of purchases. We run the business to make sure that we have the proper fill rates. And in this case, we, you know, from a timing perspective, we had a little bit more advantage in Q3 than the norm. But all things being equal, from an annual year basis, it's a pretty stable platform. The only exception, as I mentioned on the call, is what will be happening in Q2 2019. It is a one-time event. I just want to stress that again. It's not something that we expect to be repeated thereafter. It's not an insignificant amount of money in terms of change of payment terms, but we'll deal with it in Q2, mostly in Q2 2019.
Yeah, okay, and that was kind of my next question. On that payment terms, like I understand you don't want to disclose, you know, the manufacturer and all that, and I respect that completely, but, I mean, why changing the – maybe it's because it's the end of earnings season, I don't know, but maybe I'm not catching this part. Why is the payment terms changing impact your free cash flow? I understand maybe on a short-term basis, but, I mean, I'm just trying to – again, maybe understanding the dynamics of this, I'm not necessarily getting why that would change your cash flow and why you would need to reduce reducing your leverage gets pushed out by 24 months. Like that's kind of what I'm trying to understand here.
I'll be happy to provide you more color, Leon, but it's very simple, right? If I have a payment term with you that I'm paying what I'm purchasing and on an illustrative example here, on a 90-day basis, and then you ask me now to going forward to be paid on the 30-day basis. If I still am I'm buying on every week from you, well, the new orders will have a shorter fuse and will have to be repaid faster, and then you're going to have an overlap between your existing terms you had for 90 days versus the 30 days, right? So cash out wise, there's a timing difference that sort of accumulate and comes together. That's really what's going on here.
Okay. And then for the leverage target to get to 2.5 in approximately 24 months, can you walk us through maybe what's the assumption behind that?
What's the assumption? Well, the assumption is the business will continue to perform as they are. As you know, historically, we generate a fair amount of cash. We're able to convert a fairly high percentage of our EBITDA into actual cash. 19 is a bit of an exception with that change. The businesses continue to generate cash, and based on our expectations, if we don't make any acquisitions, we expect to be tracking on that basis.
And our acquisition, I mean, I understand there's a strategic review going on, but I mean, are there still, you know, are there still thoughts of acquisitions at the moment, or I mean, that's obviously on the back burner for now.
Look, we will not penalize businesses to run the business the way the business should be run and capitalize on opportunities because we're doing strategic review. I mean, at the end of the day, our job is to ensure to create shareholder values. If the opportunity makes sense, if it's an important element for a business, we will definitely consider it.
Okay, and in that vein, given that there is a strategic review, I mean, I realize Andres there is on an interim basis. Has there been a search for a CEO, or is that kind of in conjunction with the strategic review?
Well, there's no search started yet because we're only within 2 months of the strategic review. We have the management in place to drive the business and have a great management team, and I'm there to help. And as soon as we have more clarity about the strategic review and the future, then we will start the search, obviously. But right now, it's too early to really start a search, but we have the full team in play, and as you can see into our Q3 results, we deliver with that team. So we're going to continue to do the same. So that's all I can say at this point in time.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Si vous voulez poser une question, pour composer l'étoile suivie du numéro 1 sur votre clavier téléphonique. Again, to ask a question, please press star followed by the number 1 on your telephone keypad. Your next question comes from the line of Benoit Poirier from Desjardins. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning again. And just for the organic growth, if we look at last year, is it fair to assume that the Canadian Automotive Group will be facing an easy compare while FinishMaster will be facing kind of a tougher compare when we look at the Q4 organic growth last year? Is it a fair assessment?
Well, if you recall, last year we had a positive organic growth in Q4 2017. It was at tune of 1.5%. Where we expect, we still expect to be in the positive range on the CAG side, as we said. You know, the guidance is upper range of the range of what we expect. So if you do the math, we need to do either equal or better in a way, right, than where we are at this point. That's our expectation.
Okay, and is the $5 million additional cost saving is incremental or kind of offset something that that were on the negative side, Eric?
So as I said, right, we expect those initiatives to help the margins of Canada and Parts Alliance, and we're aiming at maintaining margins at FinishMaster.
Okay, perfect. And just also a high-level question, strategic review, does it impact the ongoing business right now, or this is not a question or a concern?
There's no impact on the actual business. Our three operators are running the business. Our management team altogether is very focused on the operations, and there's no impact. Obviously, management has to be part of certain meetings regarding the strategic review, but most of our time is spent on the operations. And our people, our clients, our suppliers, and everyone that has an impact to our business, that's where we are focusing.
Okay. Thank you very much for the time.
Thank you, Benoit.
Your next question comes from the line of Michael Glenn from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Welcome back. Hey, good to be back. The CapEx number 26 to 29, does that, can you give an update or an outlook for the vendor, the advanced merchant members number on the cash flow?
Yeah, look, Michael, our expectation is to be in the same range in Q4 than we are in Q3, in that ballpark. As I mentioned on the prior call, we did invest more in Q1, Q2 than our normalized run rate, and I had telegraphed that we would expect this to revert back to normalized run rate thereafter, which is what happened in Q3, and I expect to be in a similar ballpark in Q4. As it relates to CapEx, the only clarification you need to bear in mind is you need to factor in the fleet financing of our vehicles in that number. Because when you look at the cash flow, it's not intuitive that you'll get to that number. But we look at it on capital leases that may or may not have a cash impact at that point, and that's the nuance when you look at the numbers.
Okay. And then on M&A, what's the prospect for you guys being able to transact at FinishMaster right now? We haven't seen you acquire at that business since, I think, early 2017.
Well, you may recall, Michael, that we had a very simple philosophy. We would not transact if we have negative organic growth. I mean, the price of acquisition, from our perspective, is the business needs to have positive organic growth to justify doing an acquisition. It's only the second quarter after, I would say, difficult six, seven quarters that we had at FinishMaster. So I think from our perspective, we wanted to make sure that the trend was definitely turned, the corner was turned. Very happy that we have a second quarter where we have positive organic growth. And if there's M&A activities that make sense for FinishMaster, we'll definitely contemplate those.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thank you,
Michael.
Il n'y a plus de questions en ce moment. There are no further questions at this time. I turn the call back over to management.
Thank you. I would like to thank everybody this morning for attending, and we obviously be available, Eric and I, after some time today. We have finished board meetings to talk to any of you who wishes to do so. Thank you. Have a good day, and see you next quarter.
Thank you very much.
Ceci met fin à notre appel conférence d'aujourd'hui. Vous pouvez maintenant raccrocher. This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.